How's it going, everybody? Dieter Kurtenbach joined by Mark Medina. We're in Oakland. Feels like the first time in forever we've been in Oakland, though we've been in Oakland for a week now, Mark. We haven't talked in a bit.
Well, pretty sure you're not going to be in Oakland. You're not even going to be in this country, Dieter.
We're getting out of town tomorrow morning, heading to Toronto. We know who the Warriors' NBA Finals opponent is. It is the Toronto Raptors, a worthy opponent, if I can say so myself. Let's break down these NBA Finals. I was just telling Mark before we got on the air here how I could go on for 10 hours. I'm sure that doesn't surprise any of you about this series, or I really don't have a lot to say. It's a very weird situation. I think game one's going to tell us a lot. But let's get into the Warriors side of things. Let's try to clean house here a little bit, get all of the spring cleaning done here at the end of May. DeMarcus Cousins, Kevin Durant. Mark, where do we stand with both of those guys?
Well, there's not going to be any clear answers till they're reevaluated on Wednesday, which coincides with a practice in Toronto before game one Thursday. But as of now, Kevin Durant hasn't been cleared for any on-court work. Right now, the Warriors don't think it's likely he plays in game one because it's always a prerequisite for any injured player under Steve Kerr, the Warriors coach, is, hey, you got to get not only on-court time, but you got to get some scrimmage time. Kevin hasn't done that. It is possible that maybe he gets something like that today or Tuesday, probably Wednesday. But the reality is, why rush it, number one? Number two, DeMarcus Cousins, I could see him coming back for game one. He already scrimmaged Friday. He might get some more work at some point before game one. But it's a very interesting set of parallel tracks because right now DeMarcus Cousins has progressed a lot more in his injury. He injured it a lot longer than Kevin Durant had. But I think there's more question marks as far as what his return would entail than Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant's been leading the league in scoring. They've kind of been used to this by now, his third season with integrating him with the rest of the All-Stars. DeMarcus Cousins, he's had a lot of mixed success this year after he came back from his Achilles injury. So I think there's even, you know, really a question mark, is he even going to be starting? Yeah. And I think that's going to be very interesting, like how Steve Kerr handles that kind of setter by committee, because it's always a thing. Mm-hmm. But now a new opponent and a new set of circumstances that Steve has to evaluate because DeMarcus is a factor now.
Absolutely. And you think about Cousins and maybe what he could provide. I wrote this in sort of my grand preview column. Grand might be a stretch, but Boogie could be a big help to the Warriors with the second unit, but he could be a big detriment to the Warriors if he plays with the first unit. As much as the Warriors do, I think, have an advantage starting lineup versus starting lineup, and the Raptors don't really have that much depth, though I do think that their 6, 7, 8 guys are pretty damn good, especially if Fred VanVleet continues to play the way he played in the Eastern Conference Finals, if Norman Powell does. We know Serge Ibaka's the real deal. You now get into some weird permutations with rotations, and it will be interesting to see how Steve Kerr handles it, because I absolutely think that they can find a role for DeMarcus Cousins, but as we've seen time and time again this season, is DeMarcus Cousins going to totally be on board with the role that Steve Kerr has carved out for him? There was already a bit of friction at the beginning of the playoffs about sort of playing the game the right way for the postseason, and DeMarcus not necessarily being all on board with that style of play. It's the NBA Finals. Does he buy in because it's the series of all series, or is he kind of holding on to that? This is his last chance to really prove that he deserves that big money contract. Is that ego going to take over? I'm probably overstating it a bit, but it's something that Steve Kerr has to manage and the coaching staff has to manage, and it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out with Kevin. We all know that if Kevin Durant plays, the Warriors go from being pretty significant favorites in this series to prohibitive favorites, just because it's Kevin Durant and now you have those two kinds of smoke that we so often talk about. But I don't know if I necessarily agree with you, Mark, in terms of it should be a seamless thing 3 years in. I think back, and I've been thinking back to this a lot recently, those games that the Warriors played, I believe it was in March, which feels like it was last week or 2 years ago, one or the other, in March when they go to Oklahoma City and they go to Houston and they win without Kevin Durant. And they kind of threw it back to 2015 like we've seen over the last 5 games here. And when KD came back, he decided he was not going to mess with the vibe. He was not going to mess with the mojo. He was just going to be the servant. And it worked fantastically, which I think is forgotten until game two of the first round series against the Clippers, in which I don't even think that was the problem. The problem was they took their foot off the gas on defense and they never re-engaged offensively. But then everyone looks at the box score and goes, why did they lose? Well, Kevin took 8 shots. That seems like a pretty good reason as to why they lost, even though I would disagree that it was. And then ever since then, Kevin has just been on an absolute tear up until the injury. So that reintegration making sure that they're two very dichotomous styles of basketball, and the Warriors are going to need both of them, but making sure that there's a solid mesh point, that's something they've struggled with over the last 3 years, and it hasn't been grand or anything like that, but it is an issue, and it could be one of those little details that swings a series one way or another.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you used it wasn't grand, because the reality is they won two titles. So
no, I get that. Against the Cleveland Cavaliers, right. And let's be honest about the level of the competition here. The Raptors, I think, are better than both of the Cavaliers teams the Warriors have faced.
Yeah, I think that there's always been kind of a push-pull, but it's never, like, caused the band to break, right?
Absolutely.
I think the other thing that, you know, people have to keep in mind about this whole thing of, oh, the Warriors have been gotten by without Kevin. It's not even just dumb to say they're better without him because of the statistics, but it's such a small, misleading sample size. Right. You have the all-hands-on-deck game 6 against Houston. You have a Portland team that, you know, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum didn't play well. And then outside of those two options, they weren't going to have anything to begin with. And then, you know, that some of those regular season games, it always kind of reminded me of some of those times when Kobe Bryant would be hurt and all of a sudden, like, the team overachieves. And, you know, they're doing all the things that Kobe can sometimes lack of, hey, passing the ball, right, having balance. But at some point, that kind of adrenaline rush wears off. Where I would venture to say if he misses a significant part or all the NBA Finals, right, heaven forbid, I don't want to say they would not be the favorites, but I think kind of it's a toss-up, right?
Yeah, it would be a lot closer. I would favor the Warriors. I picked the Warriors in 6 without Kevin Durant, but I don't think that there's going to be any easy games here. We've seen in the last 2 rounds the Warriors have been able to blitz their opponent and really – You look at the last 3 games of the Western Conference Finals, you go, oh, the Warriors had to fight back every time. But ultimately, it was obvious who the superior team was. Warriors pull away late in Game 6 against the Rockets, jump out big win, Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals, and kind of took her easy from there on out, only turning it on when they really had to. These Raptors are going to force the Warriors to play a full 48, which goes back to the rotation stuff that I talked about earlier. They can't just tread water. They got to play even or they got to get advantages, because I'm just not sure if the starting lineups can get that big double-digit differential that they've gotten against other teams. And then, you get to the Durant thing. Of course, it'd be better with Durant. I don't know. I don't even know if he's traveling with the team for the first 2 games. We're going to ask today at practice, but I don't think they know fully yet.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin said he wasn't sure, but I'm just kind of using common sense that they're reevaluating him Wednesday. I think it's by definition he has to travel with them, right?
I don't know. I mean, the last round, it was kind of the same thing. I mean, perhaps the common sense is there, but you never know with this right, kind of stuff. Yeah. Someone can come back and just go, how do you feel? They leave Rick behind, and he has to take a red eye on Thursday. It's tricky. It's a totally different series with Kevin Durant, but let's talk about the series without him, because, we just don't know, and it's a finicky injury. There was something interesting he said in his enlightening and interesting media scrum a couple of days ago. He said, I kind of learned my lesson jumping up and down on the couch, and I'm like, all I could think about, it was the last question or whatever. All I could think about is, did Kevin re-aggravate his injury jumping up and down on the couch in that famous photo that we've seen? Which, we've all done it. We've all pulled something celebrating or doing something silly. And could that be the difference in the NBA Finals, Kevin celebrating Game 6?
Maybe the Warriors should have allowed Houston to force a Game 7 so Kevin would have been able to get back earlier.
Exactly. Who knows? But in this series, what's the big thing that you're looking at? It comes down to sort of X's and O's, or maybe even something more spiritual in the series. We know that, yes, Kevin, if he comes back, it changes. We know that the Warriors are playing great ball, at least aesthetically pleasing ball, when he's not in there. I do think that people will shut up about, oh, we love it, we don't need Kevin Durant if they lose Game 1. They're going to be begging for Kevin Durant after that. But what is the thing that, just doing your research on this, looking at a lot of Raptors games heading into Game 1, that stands out to you as maybe something that will be a key difference in this series?
Well, I think the number one things are the injury stuff that we hit it on, but I would say number two is Steph Curry. Like, is this his finals MVP season? Because, you know, he lost against Andre Iguodala in 2015 because – hey, Andre played relatively pretty good defense against LeBron James, and, you know, I think you could make a debate there for, hey, it could have gone to Steph because he was shooting lights out. 2016, it seemed pretty clear, or 2017, yes, seemed pretty clear, this is Kevin Durant's finals MVP. Last year, it was kind of a tug and pull. Like, I know that I was torn. There was a lot of other Warrior and Cavaliers writers that were torn, but we all I don't want to say colluded. I know that's a sensitive word these days when it comes to votes, but we had all like made sure, did we miss any red flags? And I think we all definitely came to the conclusion that you can make a case for either, but Kevin Durant had that edge because of that defining game three performance and the fact that, you know, for some of Steph's really good games, you know, in game two, for example, Kevin wasn't playing poorly, where in game three, Steph wasn't shooting the ball well. I believe he went like 1-8 from three. I mean, you can make the argument that Kevin basically won them that game single-handedly. And
easily.
I think the Warriors still would have won that series, but series are much different when it's 3-0 versus 2-1. The good thing about Steph is that he's not a guy that holds on to things like that. But I am wondering, just in terms of his legacy, like, his legacy will be fine. Like, don't get me wrong. Right. He'll be cemented as the best shooter ever. He's, you know, going to get a statue with the Warriors. He's part of this franchise. He is the face of it. But, you know, just have another accomplishment to his belt. I wonder, can he do that? He's been, ever since his initial struggles against Houston, he's really turned it up a notch and has had those Steph performances while also, you know, I think empowering everyone else around him.
It is the one thing that's missing from his trophy case. And if he gets that, it's going to be really hard for people who have kind of got it out for him. I don't want to make, you know, straw men here, but there is a contingent of people who view basketball as if it's a one-on-one game and that the rest of the team is unimportant. And they don't see the 6'3" guy who operates in a system as an elite player. And it's going to be really difficult for those people to just go and look at Stephen Curry with one Finals MVP trophy, two NBA regular season MVP trophies, including the only unanimous one, the greatest shooter of all time, and a guy who has single-handedly, in many ways, revolutionized the game. And I've said this time and time again, because apparently when there's not basketball on, people lose their minds and have to live rank everything at all times. It's been really funny to listen to who the best player in the NBA is. It's changed four times in the last hour. I'm not sure if you've known this, Mark, but Curry is going to go down as one of the all-time greats in the true pantheon of pantheons of great players. And we just don't know it yet because either we don't want to acknowledge it, or ultimately we don't understand the impact of the game. I mean, to entirely revolutionize the game via your play is flabbergasting, and it's not something that we've really seen all that often. Even Jordan really didn't do it. There were a lot of Jordan copycats after the fact, but Jordan wasn't the first guy to live off of the triangle and a fadeaway jumper and dunking and all that stuff. I mean, you could argue Wilt, who they had to change the rules for Wilt, Kareem, who I guess they had to change the rules for him too. Shaq, to a certain degree, when you look at how the NBA handled after their first lockout, those kind of guys, centers, had typically been, oh, they're too big, they're too strong, we got to change the game as to adapt to them. They were sort of forced revolutionaries. Steph is just doing it in real time. Here are the rules of the game. I'm going to change the way everyone plays it. And you look around the NBA over the last 5 years, it is flabbergasting the difference in style of play across the board. And you can point to Stephen Curry, I think, a number one on that list. You could also point, if we ever wanted to pay attention to defense, to Draymond Green, but that's another conversation for another day. I'm looking at, in this series, if the Warriors are going to be able to slow down Kawhi Leonard, because what Leonard is doing is worthy of that top mantle, because I do pay attention to defense, and I know you do too, and we like to credit people who are excellent on defense. If Draymond Green's not the best defender in the NBA, and I firmly believe that he is, then it is Kawhi Leonard. There is no third option in that conversation, and he has been showing that time and time again. He shut down Giannis in the last series, and he's also just been on fire offensively, and so much of what Toronto did in the last two rounds, and those were two tough rounds, Philadelphia and then against Milwaukee, so much of what the Raptors seemed to do when the moments got tight, and they were tight a lot, was just say, give the ball to Kawhi and maybe he'll make something happen. And I'm curious to see, one, how the Raptors handle the moment that is the NBA Finals. They're going to be out of their rhythm. It's going to be a bigger stage than they've ever been on before. I have not thought that they've responded well to those moments in the prior two rounds, and then ultimately what the Warriors can do to slow down Kawhi. Because if Kawhi cannot go, I just don't know if the Raptors can get up to the level they're going to need to be at to beat the Golden State Warriors, even though I think very highly of Toronto's defense, particularly their perimeter defense. It's going to make the Warriors' life hell. But man, if they just can't score, I just don't know. The Warriors are going to find ways to put the ball in the basket. They are too smart offensively to not do that. And if Kawhi Leonard is not on his A++ game, the one that he's been on the last 2-3 rounds, I just don't know how the Raptors match that.
Yeah, and I think that defensive assignment is going to be very fascinating what Steve Kerr does with it. I think even though he's a three, this is something that Draymond Green lives for. Yeah. So I could see him taking on that primary responsibility. But like with all other star players, it's always about throwing new looks at him to, you know, make him have to adjust to different personnel and also wear him down. So maybe they throw some Klay out on him. One of the underrated things about Klay's defense, when you talk to the Warriors coaching staff, is they really think that he's good at guarding front court players.
Yes, he is.
And then on top of that, maybe they threw some stuff for your guy, Kevon Looney.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth, I wonder if by design they want to have guard Kevin Durant.
Yes.
Even though it might be more difficult for Kevin to score, maybe that wears him down so that he can't score as much on the other end. It'll be a fascinating thing. And on top of that, it's inevitable there will be possessions that Kevin is guarding Kawhi, but I don't think that the Warriors really want Kevin to be doing that, primarily because they want him to score.
We're also forgetting about a guy who does have an NBA Finals MVP in this conversation. Yeah. They're going to throw Andre Iguodala at him. And this is somewhat of the same stuff that the Warriors have done. No, and listen, the fact that the Warriors have so many guys that you can throw on a Kawhi Leonard, it's easy to forget. Like, it's a ludicrous amount of guys. And this is somewhat of the same stuff that they did with James Harden in the last round. They're just going to throw different bodies at him, and they're going to give him changeups. And I think they're going to throw some blitzes at him, too. They're going to try to take him off his game because, again, if you throw him off, I just don't know if anyone can pick it up. Kyle Lowry should be the guy who does that. His hand is injured, and frankly, he does not respond well to big moments, as we've seen time and time again. I don't know where Danny Green went, but he's not with us. Pascal Siakam, listen, he just started playing basketball 6 years ago. This might be too much for him. Some guys, they're totally impervious to crazy stuff like the NBA Finals because they're totally new to this. Some guys, it tenses them up a bit. I did not see the Pascal Siakam that I so loved watching this regular season in the last round against Milwaukee. And frankly, I think the Warriors can do a better job of knocking him off his game. I think they're going to throw it. But let's not forget, ultimately, it's a team defense, and the Warriors are still going to pretty much switch everything. In fact, I would imagine they would switch everything given Toronto's length. So it doesn't really matter. You're going to get a guy who starts. If you want to isolate against him, that's fine. They're probably going to do the Harden, Chris Paul-esque pick and roll, get a smaller guy on him, and then maybe the Warriors switch again. Like, it's going to be very fluid. It's going to be very interesting, but a lot of possessions will end with Klay, Andre, Draymond, and if Kevin does play, Kevin, on Kawhi Leonard, you got to feel really good about those chances if you're the Warriors. Another thing I'm interested in, this is something that we saw in the last two rounds, which is essentially the Warriors running centers off the court with Draymond Green going to the five, and even Kevon Looney at times. And the Raptors have the ability, in a way that I don't think either the Blazers or certainly the Rockets had, to go big and to really bully the Warriors around a little bit, even though the Warriors do have so many centers available to them. With Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka, you got two of the better fives in the NBA. Serge is a floor spacer, but Marc Gasol has been shooting 4 threes per game in this postseason, so he's spacing the floor too, giving some more room for Kawhi to do his work. Interested to see if Steve Kerr embraces that challenge and uses maybe Looney at the four a little bit sometimes just to mix it up a little bit, stuff that we haven't really seen so far in the Western Conference playoffs, sort of classic basketball. Draymond obviously gives you a massive advantage in that regard. Or if he just decides, you're going to go big, we're going to go small. We're going to go with Draymond at the five here, and we're going to run Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka off the court, and then we'll see what you got after that. Because I guess you play Pascal Siakam at the five. I don't really know what you do after that point. That's going to be a really interesting chess match, because as much as this series is intriguing, you look at the last two, the stuff lined up pretty well for the Warriors. The Rockets were more or less built to directly beat the Warriors, so they have a lot of the same personnel concepts for it. You know, you got a PJ Tucker that lines up with a Draymond Green, so on and so forth. You look at the Blazers, they're just the Warriors light with their kind of their powerful backcourt. They just didn't have, they thought that it may be Evan Turner, they thought that it might be Al-Farouq Aminu. They don't have their Draymond, and without Yusuf Nurkic, they were kind of screwed in that series. But the Raptors can throw stuff that I just don't know if the Warriors have faced too often. I can't think of situations where they faced it too often this year. And this is going to put a lot of onus on Kerr when it comes to rotations and when it comes to sort of fighting fire with maybe, you know, ice and a little bit of ice with a little bit of fire. It's going to be fascinating to see how that goes. I think he's done an exceptional job this postseason, but he's going to have to continue that. He has to be on his absolute A game, and I guess that's an area where a bunch of rest can help. I know that they haven't been really breaking it down too much because they didn't know their opponent until Saturday, but just as many extra days as you can get to just sort of let stuff come to you. I got to imagine that that's going to be helpful, and I'm really interested to see how that plays out in game one.
Yeah, I mean, so the preparation so far in this week was they didn't do any, like, on-court stuff as far as sharing their scattering reports. It was really about getting treatment for Durant, Iguodala, and Cousins. We should emphasize, I think the Warriors' expectation is Andre Iguodala is going to play.
Yes.
He was very facetious with us the other day, but it made it clear.
I'm stunned.
Yes,
Andre was fatuous.
He made it clear that he thinks he'll be fine.
Yeah.
And the other thing with this is, you know, their advanced scouts have been breaking down, you know, tape from Milwaukee and Toronto. So now I think this week is the first time where they're presenting it to the players. So I imagine that this is all about having some film sessions. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Monday is about also having a scrimmage, and then Tuesday is kind of light because they're going to travel as well. And then Wednesday it's, hey, let's see how all the bodies are feeling and go from there. But as far as your point on all the different matchups, I think that there is a question mark going in, for better and for worse, with all the good returns that the bench showed against Portland. To what extent can that even carry over? Is there a danger of putting too much into that, given that Portland just isn't the same kind of team?
Mm-hmm.
But the sense that I get early on is, at least for the front court players, Steve is going to do that. And the reason is, I think a lot of it has to do with the matchup permutation. So I see his mindset having DeMarcus and Bogut out there for someone like Marc Gasol would be good. But when they do go small or have someone like Siakam or Serge Ibaka, that they'll have Draymond. Steve Kerr had said the other day when I asked him, Jordan Bell's definitely going to play in this series.
Right.
It's a matter of just how many minutes, but he's definitely going to have like a role in each game.
You think he has a rotation spot?
Well, yeah. I mean, Steve even said, even with the uncertainty with the different injuries, he'll have a rotation spot. Okay. Who knows how many minutes? And then Kevon Looney's always going to have minutes. Like, mm-hmm. Steve Kerr has been, like, calling him the cornerstone recently.
Steve's been reading my stuff.
Yes. He's been seeking your counsel, and I think he's been listening, right? The other thing with that is I think he's also chasing matchups, but I think it's his idea that maybe – how it played out against Portland, this rest and wearing them out, could be the same concept for Toronto, where they didn't go seven games, but they went six games. These guys had 9 days of rest. If they just throw a bunch of different guys at them to throw them off, maybe that'll just wear them out. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But as far as the rest of the bench, like Alphonso McKinney, I think, has etched himself as a guy. But as far as everyone else, I think it's so up in the air.
It'd be interesting to see if we see Patrick McCaw at all in this series. That situation, I kind of feel bad for Pat.
Let it be known, he's making his third consecutive finals appearance.
Yeah, that was Pat. Pat has been getting some bad advice, let's put it that way. I didn't think that we would be going back to that strange, strange time, but the Warriors certainly aren't looking back on it as sort of a missed opportunity. I hope the best for Pat. He's a nice guy who had the wrong people, I think, in his ear, but that's my opinion, and I think it's the opinion shared by many people here at the Golden State Warriors, non-coincidentally. Mark, what's your prediction for this series? I have the Warriors in six. I do think that they'll be tight games. I think that Golden State's firepower, if it ever clicks, and I can't imagine it won't, but if the Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green triumvirate gets going, I just have a very hard time seeing Toronto rising up and taking their game to the level it will need to be at in order to beat it. And ultimately, both of these teams are going to be excellent defensively. I almost even favor the Raptors in that. But offensively, the Warriors just have levels and levels and levels that they can get to, whereas the Raptors have looked very one track for most of this postseason, and I can't see that changing against Draymond Green and company on the defensive end. I do think the Raptors get two. But I think the Warriors, and this is almost so sentimental, I don't want to do it, but I do think the Warriors close out at Oracle Arena with a fourth title in 5 years.
That would be such a Warriors thing to do, which is why I think it'll happen in six games. I can even break down how each game's going to unfold. I think the Warriors steal home court advantage in game one because they're more experienced and they've been rested. Toronto will respond back in game two. They tie the series. They make sure it's not lopsided. The Warriors aren't going to ever lose at Oracle Arena for the rest of this short window that it's existing.
Okay.
They're going to win game three and four. Toronto will head back, and they'll win to force it to six. And then that's when the Warriors decide to shut down Oracle Arena in closing fashion by drenching the carpets with champagne and never cleaning it up.
We burn this SOB down tonight. I've seen Warriors in six in so many places. I came to it at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd just gotten done watching a movie. I was thinking about stuff in the middle of the vast nothing of my living room. And I just went, what do I really think? Deep down, let's search the soul. And I went, Warriors in six. So not necessarily thrilled. I like to be a little bit contrarian sometimes, but I got a great streak going right now in terms of predictions. So I got to go with my gut on this, Warriors in six.
Hey, make an early plug here now. We usually say this for the end, but one of the reasons why you should follow Dear Kurtenbach on Twitter is for a tweet that maybe there's something wrong with me, but I just remember it from, 4 months ago, okay, where the Warriors played in Toronto,
yeah,
and they wound up losing in overtime. And Dieter, and I think this is almost verbatim, he was saying, I presume if the Warriors and Raptors meet in the NBA Finals, they will also have Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and DeMarcus Cousins there. But I'm looking forward to reading the think pieces. So that plug is this preamble to the question here of, the Warriors lost two regular season games.
Right.
The first game, Kevin played really well, Clay played really well, but they didn't have those three all-stars. The second game, Kawhi sat out.
Yes, he did.
And I believe I need some history on Draymond missed.
Draymond missed both of them.
Yeah, Draymond missed both of them. DeMarcus was still out. So that being said, obviously there's a lot of things to show that these games, regular season games, don't mean anything, but are there things, at least, that you think can transfer to any degree at all?
No. No. I mean, you don't have Draymond Green, you don't have the Warriors. I don't know how many times we need to say it. Yes, I think there's positives to be gleaned from the fact that Klay was able to have that big game alongside Kevin's 51. Because Klay, let's just be honest, he was excellent on the defensive end against Portland, but he wasn't all with us. He was chucking a lot of that Western Conference Finals series. And listen, I get it. You have an increased offensive role that you haven't really been in all that much over the last couple of years, and you got to take your shot. And it's Klay Thompson. He's not going to worry too much about if this is a good shot or a bad shot. He can make all the shots, but Klay is due for a big one. And Pascal Siakam's going to be on him. Danny Green's going to be on him. Kawhi Leonard's going to be on him. If he can get a 30-point game against this perimeter defense, I don't know how you can't pick for the Golden State Warriors. So it will be really interesting. But ultimately, no Draymond Green, it doesn't count. And I would say the same thing with, even though the Raptors did win the game in which Kawhi Leonard didn't play, like, how many times do we need to go over the fact that the Warriors did not care in the regular season almost at all? Like 0%, maybe 1% on a good day. They were playing at half speed at best during, I don't know, a 6-7 month period. So don't read too much into it. I'm sure plenty of people will write about it, but don't read too much into it. And that's what makes this series so interesting. I don't think we've actually seen these two teams play before, and we're really only going off of sort of proxy understandings when it comes to prior rounds of the playoffs and how the two teams have played. Mark, give the people some plugs on the way out. You've already plugged me. I thank you for that. I can't believe I did not remember that tweet, so I appreciate you remembering it. But plug everybody on where you can find you on Twitter, and let them know about kind of the stuff we got going on.
Yeah, well, I don't have those kind of tweets, but I have other tweets. Mark G underscore Medina. We both work for the Bay Area News Group,
yes,
the East Bay Times, Mercury News. Klay Thompson endorses us with the Klay deal. It's 11 cents a day for 11 months. So if you subscribe on our website, you get full access to the East Bay Times, Mercury News. You also get a free Warriors Championship commemorative book from last year's title run.
Yeah.
And if the Warriors take care of biz, there might be another book on the way.
Right,
if you're still a believer of, like, hey, I got to read the paper, there's also a deal where you can still do this. It's the same deal, 11 cents a day for 11 months. for digital access and the Sunday paper. So there's a lot of good stuff there. And yeah, just go to the website. I mean, we'll be there in Toronto all week. We'll be back in Oakland next week. Yeah. We'll have a lot of stuff.
The Sunday paper is wonderful. I picked one up yesterday at the grocery store. Man, it's just like a treasure trove. It's unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. A lot of good Warriors coverage, if you don't mind me asking. There's coupons in there, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of good local news. There's baseball. There's, you know, there's some Sharks. Well, yeah. their season ended, but, yeah. You know, there's going to be NFL always around the clock, so it's all good.
Yeah, you and listen, the A's are on a 9-game winning streak. They're going for 10 today as we talk. Listen, if this Warriors thing doesn't work out, we can all just head on down the street, go over to the Coliseum, and just get on this A's bandwagon. I was on the Sharks bandwagon. The Sharks bandwagon has fallen off. We're all just hopping on the A's bandwagon. The wheels are still turning on this thing. East Bay Times, Mercury News, we're going to have it all for you. And, you know, the very important local news that you so very much need to stay informed as a citizen of the Bay Area, the Clay deal is the way to get it. We will talk to you guys next from Toronto. See you in Canada.